Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, Alleluia. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Amen.
That was Daud Erfan, the Methodist Youth President, calling us to worship and reading 1 Peter verse 3. Hello and welcome to this Easter celebration on a CD from the Methodist Church. Our theme for this Easter is Resurrection Faith, a place to belong. The resurrection is the affirmation that the reign of God is open to all, and through the resurrection all people can find a place to belong. And as we share this Easter celebration, we're going to be visiting some of those places that people have found to belong in the Methodist Church. We'll also be sharing reflections, readings, and of course hymns. Our first hymn is Christ the Lord is Risen Today, performed by Gareth Moore from the Isle of Man. And if you're following along in the Methodist hymn book Singing the Faith, this is hymn number 298.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
I'm Barbara Easton and I'm Vice President of the Methodist Conference, and it's my privilege to lead the opening prayers on our Easter worship. Oh God, you are amazing. Like the women, we stand at your tomb astonished. We are here today wanting to worship, but the things we have brought with us seem barely adequate when we stand before the wonder of your resurrection. Like the two on the road to Emmaus, we don't have the understanding to comprehend what has happened or the words to express our response. You are our friend and our brother, but today we say with all your disciples, my Lord and my God. By your resurrection, love has broken the barrier of death. You have shown us that suffering and failure are not the end of love's story. Love cannot be confined by the dark and fearfulness of the tomb. We confess, O Lord, that while you are waiting for us in the garden, we are sometimes still looking for you in the tomb. That while you are already doing something new, we are sometimes just struggling to make sense of it all. That while you have already changed the story, we sometimes remain gripped by the fear that everything has gone wrong. Yet while we linger in the shadows, you are leading us on, away. Turn us, Lord, towards life, for ourselves, our church, and our world. At Easter, you call us from the dark places into the light. You call us from separation into community. You break down the barriers between us as you broke down the stone that sealed the tomb. You create us anew, a new people called to bring new wine. And wherever Easter finds us, however Easter finds us, we shout, Alleluia, he is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Our next hymn is going to be performed for us by Deacon Joy Everingham from Kent. Christ is alive, let Christians sing. Singing the Faith, number 297, 297.
Christ is alive, let Christians sing, the cross stands empty to the sky, let streets and homes with praises ring, love drowned in death shall Christ is alive, no longer bound to distant years in Palestine, but saving, healing here and now, and touching every place and time. Thank you.
I'm Lorraine Darlow, the National Learning and Development Officer for the Learning Network in the region of Scotland in Shetland. This reading comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, from verses 13 to 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they didn't find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself and all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour, they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and the companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Hi, I'm Gary Hopkins, Ministry Development Officer in the Connectional team. I invite you to take a few moments to relax and to recognise you are in God's presence. Make sure you're comfortable and take a few deep breaths. I invite you to ponder the journey to Emmaus. Two lovers of God, wondering if all they had hoped for was lost. They believed Jesus would put things right and transform the world they were in. Transform it from a place of oppression and violence into one of liberation and peace. That he would create a place where they could truly belong as God's people. They were lost, dismayed, downtrodden. Their hopes dashed as they came to terms with Jesus' death. But they'd missed something. they'd missed a deeper meaning. They'd allowed their own views to cloud their judgment of what God was up to. And missed the depth of the intricate picture painted by Scripture. God's presence alongside them in the risen Christ brought a new light. A deeper understanding of what God was up to. And they had to let go of their own desires to understand just what was God's will in that place. As they sat there with this stranger and he broke bread, the realization came that this was God speaking to them, that all hope was not lost, but in the midst of what they thought was terrible, God was up to something unimaginable. And in that moment, in the resurrection faith, they discovered their place to belong in the people of God. Where is your place to belong in the resurrection faith? Where do you feel your heart burn with joy? In what ways do you feel loved and affirmed among other believers? And finally, how can you help others feel a sense of belonging as they experience the joy of God's love in your company? For our resurrection faith, we give thanks to God. Amen.
Eek is a five-piece all-female band from Birmingham, boasting the Reverend Danielle Wilson among their members. Here they are performing their song, Be Water.
Come inside, put your bag on the floor. You said never again, but we've been here too many times before. It's okay though, the door's always open, the kettle's on. Don't you worry, I'm not full of told you so's. Rest your head and your eyes and your weary bones. Unconditional, arms open, overload. So it goes. Cause it's not okay feeling this way. There are so many things you should have said. Tumbling down, losing your crown. Try to make sense of it. Raise your sail, grab a coffee. Don't try to wish this is something and nothing. Cause nothing is everything. Cause it's not okay feeling this way. There are so many things you should have said. Tumbling down, losing your crown.
put your bag on the floor. You said, never again, but we've been here too many times before. It's okay though, the door's always open, the kettle's on. Cause it's not okay feeling this way. There are so many things you should have said, tumbling down, losing your crown. Be one of my friends. Be one of my friends. Cause it's not okay feeling this way.
Very welcome to our memory worship service today. And so in the usual way, I'm going to open the memory worship box. So we're going to take our memory box and we're going to open and prepare our table for worship in the way we always do. So we start by taking out our beautiful red cloth, and it reminds us that our hearts are alive and open to welcoming Jesus' love. We take out our prayer bear, who reminds us that we can take all our worries and all our fears to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to give our prayer bear.
The contents of the red case are taken out one at a time and provide a comforting rhythm to the start of memory worship at Wesley Methodist Church in Leigh-on-Sea, Essex. Memory worship is a special service for those who live with memory loss, those who care for them, and those who prefer a simpler service. It's organised by Julie Peake, a mission enabler for older people.
The memory box provides a simple liturgy that's through actions that unlock the whole process of worship. And within the memory box, we have a cross, a prayer bear, a Bible, and a candle. And the culmination of the whole opening, unpacking of the memory box and laying the table up for worship is to stop and say very purposefully, "And the Lord said, let there be." And everybody says light. Everybody knows that God said, let there be light. And it feels very poignant to me. It has done right from the very beginning, that when somebody appears to not actually be engaged with the service, they sit up and say light. This also happens with old traditional hymns. And it takes people back to those memories of a long time ago where they would have sat in service, and it may have been school assembly, it may have been Sunday school, but it unlocks and provides pathways to memory, not just with the people that are living with dementia, it's the carers. The carers are unable to attend worship for themselves, and this visit to church means that they can. Because after the service, where we're engaging and stimulating people to draw on wonderful memories through activities, they are sitting quietly with a cup of tea and good Methodist fellowship, chatting to somebody that's probably walking the same journey that they are. So you walked in that door, and there was Dawn from Waitrose, who said, "Hello, James and Betty," and it was as if God had a plan to to gather you both up, and that was 6 years ago. And you've been coming, and I know you've lost Betty, but in coming back, you find company through
sharing with others.
I hope you don't mind me saying, James, but you're 92?
Yes, I'm 92. I'll be 93 in April. 65 years we were together, and you make that vow, don't you? That for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health.
We're now going to sing The Head That Was Once Crowned with Thorns, performed for us by Wesley Methodist Church in Reading, and this is Singing the Faith, number 312, 312.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Inclusive Gathering Birmingham. I'm Peter, he, him, and I want to welcome you this afternoon. It's great to see so many people here. We truly believe in the inclusive nature of a real loving God and want to represent that here. So whatever your gender identity, whatever your sexuality, whatever your faith belief is, we want to say you're welcome here this afternoon.
The Inclusive Gathering in Birmingham was established around 5 years ago, and it's a place where all are truly welcome to belong. Danielle Wilson is the pioneer minister there.
Inclusive Gathering is an emerging faith community that revolves around this idea of radical inclusion being central to what our discipleship looks like. So rather than faith being oriented around who we leave out, it's about how we welcome as many as possible. I'd say we're probably 80-90% LGBTQ plus, but we also have quite a few folks that are neurodiverse or living with disabilities. And so we're always thinking about the things that would be barriers to people being part of our community, whether they're physical barriers or spiritual or emotional barriers. There's all sorts of reasons why people feel like they want to have space where they can really be themselves. Some of it might be about being excluded due to sexuality or gender or things like that. You know, maybe they've been in churches where they felt like they needed to hold to a party line. And then when they started to doubt that party line, they doubted how much they would be loved and accepted by the people they were with. Quite often in my experience, that happens without it being like a formally spoken thing from the front. It's that perception of how you're included or not included.
My name is Adam. It's the first time that I actually feel like getting up and coming to church on a Sunday. It's a real happy place. It's a great community. I've got friends here now where I've struggled to make friends before. but everybody just is so welcoming and it's so homely and comforting. I was brought up going to church and we went to a few different denominations, and I remember one day there was a sermon preached. I felt his eyes glared at me through the whole sermon, and he was just talking about how gay is a sin and that we're not welcome in the church. I do feel a lot better about myself now. I feel relaxed. I feel like I'm able to be free and be open. I can just come and be myself. Whereas before, I used to try and hide the fact that I was gay, but here I don't have to. My partner sometimes comes along with me as well. It's brilliant being able to bring him with me, and he gets involved and helps out with things as well. Whereas before I would never have done that.
My name is Naomi. So many people are forced to make the choice between their safety as a queer person and their faith. When I first began this journey of coming out, we had no idea really that there were Christians that were affirming of LGBT people. And so now I think actually I can celebrate the fact that it just feels so normal, and I don't even think about it anymore, which is great. But you know, if I do, then I'm just so appreciative that we have this space. Also for what that says to the wider church, and for how many people are going to hopefully be inspired and be able to feel like they can be their true selves by what happens here and what we do in this community.
Church, when it's really working, is a place where people can explore who they really are and be safe to do that, to be able to have those conversations. I've heard people say that if they feel like they're welcome and they're included here in this group of people, it gives them the strength and the energy to be who they are the rest of the time. So if people have been told in churches, whether that's explicitly or implicitly, that they don't belong and they're not loved, I feel like that is part of the heart of the gospel, is to make sure that people know, actually, no, you are loved, full stop. There's no qualification to that.
Hello, I'm John Broby. I'm a Methodist deacon, and I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 21, and chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So then, remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God.
I am Sonia Hicks, the president of the Methodist Conference. At Easter, we celebrate the resurrection of Christ Jesus. We give thanks for the Son of God, whom death could not claim. But if we pause and think, resurrection from the dead wasn't that remarkable. Lazarus, too, had been reclaimed from the jaws of death, and so had the daughter of Jairus. Even in the Old Testament, resurrection from the dead had occurred. So what was so very special about this particular resurrection? On Good Friday, it seemed that Jesus was just a charlatan, a trickster, a con artist. He had willingly accepted the title Son of God, and yet he had suffered a mortal death. Surely gods do not die. On Good Friday, Jesus of Nazareth looked like a failure. Yet on Easter Sunday, this same Jesus had been vindicated, vindicated by God himself. This is true kingship. This is our Saviour Christ. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. When the stone was rolled away, so were any doubts about who Jesus was, about who Jesus is. Jesus was raised from the dead. What does that historic occurrence mean for you and for me? How does that past event translate into our present? I believe it means that God is on our side. When we lived in Jamaica, the roads in Portland were dotted with potholes. And when I say potholes, I mean craters, ravines. Whenever I was driving along, I had to be extremely careful. I had to pick out the best way to go so that I didn't damage the car. Often, I would manage to gingerly wind myself around them. But sometimes, I would hit one full on, and I would know that the tire had all the air knocked out of it. It is not possible for us to negotiate the pothole of sin. No matter how hard we try, we always manage to hit it full on. No wonder Paul proclaimed, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" It was Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour, who delivered us from this predicament. It was Jesus who came into this world and made the way safe for us to use. In Jamaica, whenever there was an election, there would be a flurry of activity on the roads. All the potholes would be filled in, but it was always a short-term fix. The workmen would throw in some marl and cover it with the smallest amount of tarmac. So, the next time it rained heavily, the potholes would all appear again. Jesus' death was not a short-term solution to our sinfulness. Jesus' death means that God is on our side today, tomorrow, forever. No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine, alive in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. So we no longer have to worry how we will survive life. On the cross, Jesus took all that worry and all that burden from us. The prophet Isaiah promised a time when God's anger would be no more. That time is now. Isaiah promised a time when God would be the means of our salvation. That time has dawned. Surely, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. When the Vice President and I travelled to the Darlington district, we met a young woman who was in recovery from an addiction. This beautiful woman, lit up by the Holy Spirit from within, spoke movingly about her journey from addiction to a more fulfilling existence. In many ways, it was her story of resurrection. She had been rescued from the depths of despair and had discovered how precious she is in the sight of God. She said, "I have hope because Jesus died for me." And when she has rough days, she is able to get through because of her belief that God is with her. Jesus' resurrection is a beacon of hope in a world where hope is often in short supply, where hope is fragile or absent or dead. As God invites us to be with her, we can all discover our place at God's table. And there, at God's table, we can feast on hope, no matter what circumstances we face. When I read the newspapers or watch the evening news, I am saddened by the ways in which lives are tossed onto the rubbish heap of life. The lives of refugees, the lives of the elderly, the lives of the most vulnerable. And yet in Christ, God has reclaimed every single one of those lives. God has declared, "You are precious. You are worthy. You are loved." And as we claim that knowledge for ourselves, we will want to proclaim God's declaration of love for the dispossessed and the unloved in our society and in our communities. But we have to know, like the young woman I spoke of earlier, that we are also precious in God's sight. Without that prior knowledge, we cannot lift the fallen or give strength to the weary. We cannot speak of the hope that the world needs to hear. God raised Jesus from the dead. God vindicated Christ, declaring that he was no con artist. Therefore, we can approach God without fear and without dread, because we have hope in God's love as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. St. Paul called us citizens of heaven. We are God's own holy people, people who have hope in God, people invited to God's table, people willing to make space for others, especially those on the margins. God did not forsake Jesus on the cross. God will not forsake us either. Let us with confidence proclaim the gospel. Let us publish abroad the love of God, which encompasses all. Let us proclaim the mercy of God, which is boundless. Let us truly be the people of God, people who know the love of God for ourselves, people who have witnessed the power of God in our lives, so that God's name may be glorified, now and evermore. Amen.
Matt Beckingham is a worship leader and a conductor. Here he is performing the hymn, "Lo, in the Grave He Lay," singing the Faith, number 305, 305.
Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Saviour, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watch his bed, Jesus, my Saviour. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Death cannot keep its prey, Jesus, my Savior, He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with the saints to reign. He arose, He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose.
Baked potato, cheese and beans, ever popular. Sausage casserole, lots of chunky mixed vegetables. And the other main was a cottage pie. Ah, leek and potato. That's another favourite regular.
That's the tasty menu on offer at the Sunday Supper Club that's held each week at the Bridgeway Hall Methodist Mission on the Meadows Estate, Nottingham. The 2011 census put the area in the top 3% of deprived communities, with the food being served at the Supper Club providing a hot meal to dozens of vulnerable families. But it's also providing a place for people to talk about their faith. One Sunday evening, I caught up with the Pioneer Minister, David Shaw, in the busy kitchen at Bridgeway Hall.
Sunday Supper came about because there were a group of about half a dozen of us from the church who were meeting in a local member's house on Sunday evenings for food and then for a time of prayer and fellowship. And we felt that God was drawing us to share that hospitality with a wider group of people. We already had contact with a number of people through the food bank that we saw regularly coming into the community cafe. So that was a starting point for us. And on our first Sunday, we invited people, and I think there were 15 or 16 people came along. So it was kind of a good start. People would come into the church building and we would have an opportunity to gather informally in the auditorium area for an informal act of worship, followed by people coming into the cafe for a sit-down meal. But then people would come and have food, sit down and have a chance to chat together. So providing an environment that was safe for them where they could come and just have some of those conversations was really important. But also the opportunity to share faith. And when people came for the meal, and because people were arriving at different times, we would actually say grace in the middle of the meal and actually take time to stop. And then there'd be an opportunity for someone to share a testimony or say something for a couple of minutes. So again, an opportunity to bring some Christian input into that context. One guy tonight was sharing some of the issues he's having with accommodation. Another was talking about his mental health. One of the last groups we served tonight was a family of six that regularly come and collect food. A single mum, five boys, living in a fairly small house. We know that she's got some struggles of her own just in terms of managing that environment, and we're glad to be able to provide a bit of support there.
Jennifer Watley is one of the volunteers who's working hard in the kitchen and serving the food at the Supper Club.
Yeah, just come along on a Sunday to help with the serve out the meals, talk to whoever comes and prep the food. I enjoy the people that I work with in the kitchen, and it's nice to talk to the people that are coming. You get to know regulars. I mean, I don't always get to know their circumstances, but certainly people are struggling with their meals for their families. There's so much on bills and that. Some people are homeless, they don't have a home to go to. Some people have accommodation where they're just not able to prepare a hot meal as well. But they're all pleased to be able to come and see a friendly face and take away some food. It's enjoyable work. Some days we are a bit rushed, but it's always enjoyable.
For me, I know that in the end, you know, having a relationship with Christ is the thing that makes a difference for people in their lives. You know, we can do some good social work here, as it were. We can help feed people. We can signpost people to other organisations that can help them. But in the end, they need to know that transformation from within. And we know that only Jesus can bring that about.
My name is Rachel Allison, and I'm the Helen Kim Memorial Scholar with Methodist Women in Britain. This year, I was asked to write the Easter Offering Service, which raises money for the World Mission Fund. The theme is Tell Her Story, Tell Our Story, and focuses on the lost and forgotten stories of women. You can find out more details and how to download it on the Methodist Church website. Prayers for the world. Let us pray. God of love, who welcomes all, we come before you with people, places and institutions where your radical message of welcome and inclusivity is not heard or practiced. As we bring our siblings and situations before you today, remind us that we always have more to do to challenge a world full of injustice, rejection and loss. Peaceful God, we pray for all those whose homes and places of belonging have been destroyed by war. We pray for both those who have left and those who have stayed in a place unrecognisable to them. God, when their world is falling apart around them, give them peace in their heart and the support they need to rebuild a place to belong. Ever-moving God, we pray for all those who are on a journey to a new homeland due to poverty, war or natural disaster. Be with them on their journey. Protect them from those who wish to harm them. And keep their passage safe and free. Inclusive God, we pray for those who are told they don't belong because of their sex, gender, race, sexuality or disability. We pray that they know they can find a home and a place to belong in you. We know our churches are not always places people feel safe and able to belong. God, help us to be more welcoming and make your house a home for all. Creative God, we pray for your amazing creation, for every beautiful plant, bird, fish and animal, which reflect your amazing power and creativity. God, we pray for all those places where humans seek to destroy and abuse the land for profit and greed. We pray for the communities who are trying hard to protect the environment and the campaigners highlighting the injustice around the world. Sustaining God, we hear more and more about the impact of climate change every day, and we see how it is changing your wonderful creation. Help us to live more sustainably and preserve this amazing place we call home for all the generations to come. We pray for those places which have already been lost to climate change and remember all those who have lost their lives to natural disasters. Remind us to help keep fighting and doing our bit to protect the planet. Ever-present God, we pray for our institutions. We pray for the NHS, our government, our welfare system, our police officers, firefighters and places of worship, and all those charged with keeping us safe. In challenging situations, give them strength to work with integrity and compassion, to look out for those who need them most and fight for justice for all. God of people, places and things, remind us of our privilege and our biases. Help us to build communities, institutions and a world where all can feel at home and all can belong. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our final hymn is performed for us by the Jazz Church in Birmingham. Thine Be the Glory. Singing the Faith, number 313, 313.
Is the victory.
on the saxophone there, yeah.
Hello, I'm Reverend Jackie Belfield, a presbyter from the rural circuit. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do his will, working among us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory for ever and ever. Amen.
The Grace, recorded by Gareth Moore, with the music written by Gary Hopkins.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us evermore. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us evermore.
Thank you for listening to this Easter celebration on a CD from the Methodist Church. If you've got access to the internet or know somebody who does, you can discover more about the Methodist Women in Britain's Easter offering and the resources on their website. Otherwise, you can ask your nearest Methodist church or by calling 0300 030 9873. That's 0300 030 9873. From myself, Mike Ivett, goodbye.